It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're in John chapter 4, and the last time that we were in our study, we left off in John chapter 4, and we were talking about the woman of Samaria. Jesus was in Samaria because the Bible says in verse 4 of John 4, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Well, when I see that verse, I see myself. I see myself as a safe person that I must needs do something, that I must needs to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of this world. Now, you know, the Bible teaches me that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And one day I'm going to be in my heavenly home. But I'm here now. And while I'm passing through this land, I need to be giving out the gospel. Just as Jesus was sitting at the well, and he explained to this woman that the water that was in that well would only quench the thirst for a certain amount of time. But the water that he offered would be a well of water that, would never run dry. Well, what was he speaking of? Let's look at verse 13 of John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, speaking of the water in the well. Verse 14, but Jesus goes on, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Verse 15 goes on to say, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. When you and I as saved individuals, people who know Jesus as Savior, we need to be presenting the gospel to cause a thirst within that person. Give the thirst to that individual from the Word of God. They need to thirst after truth and righteousness. And this woman, whether she realized it or not, she was about to get really thirsty because she needed what Jesus had for her. Now, Jesus had asked for something that was physical, water from the well, and this is what was on this woman's mind. And she had made comment that how would he draw anything out of that well? He didn't even have a bucket or anything to bring the water up. Well, this gave him an opportunity to present himself as the water of life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the water of life. He gives life to individuals who will call upon him. And if you've done that, you're passing through this land just as I am, and you need to be giving out the water of life, offering that water of life. Now, you can't provide that, but you can help that person to go to the one who can provide the water of life, and that person is Jesus Christ. Now, the woman goes on, and she speaks. And in verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come thither. Verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Now, what Jesus is doing here, he's helping this individual know that there's sin in her life, and there's been sin in her life. And once again, the Bible reminds us that there's none righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This needs to be brought to the attention of every person in this world, that every person is a sinner. Now notice what Jesus does here. He says, thou hast well said, I have no husband. He's telling this woman. Verse 18, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast and now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. Now, once again, he's helping this woman understand that her life is not perfect. And the life of individuals in this world is not perfect enough to go to heaven. A person needs to have the water of life. A person needs to have Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you've trusted him as your Savior, you're measuring up to what God wants you to measure up to. You're measuring up to God's standard. You have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, he's helping this woman to know that She's a sinner. She's done things wrong. And now things need to change. Verse 19 goes on to say in John chapter 4, "Then the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Well, Jesus was telling this woman things that only at that time, once again, that only a prophet could know, or someone who knew all about her. Well, the Bible knows all about us. And as we present Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world, they understand by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God speaks to that person through the Word of God. And just as this woman said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now, we're not a prophet in the sense that we can foretell the future or anything like that, but we are forth-tellers. We forth-tell. We do not prophesy in the sense of telling someone what's going to take place tomorrow, the next day, or the next minute, or whatever. But we can tell them what the Bible says. We forth-tell the Word of God. And Jesus was a prophet, and he was telling this woman who she was. Now, in verse 20, it goes on to say here, this woman speaking, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Well, if you go back and study the Word of God, you'll find out, and you study and find out what she's talking about here, about worshiping in the mountain. The Samaritans believe that the temple should be erected in Samaria. And, of course, the Jews were given the guidance of God personally through David. David was to build the temple, and we know that he couldn't build it because he was a bloody man, according to the Word of God. And that was left up to Solomon. But God had instructed that the temple should be built in Jerusalem. We go back and study this in the Old Testament, and these people of Samaria believed that the temple was to be in Samaria. So they had been worshiping in Samaria. Well, notice what Jesus says here now. Now, once again, the woman said in verse 20, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain," in the mountain that they believed where the temple should be built, and it was built, and they had worshiped there. Well, she also says that the Jewish people said that they should be worshiping in Jerusalem. But notice now, she's still thinking of the physical here. Jesus saith unto her in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now, what he's saying here is this. There's coming a time when the veil of the temple in Jerusalem is going to be rent in twain. That means that people will no longer go to the temple as they have in the past. They will no longer go under the Mosaic example and under the example of the temple of going in to the Holy of Holies as a priest would go in and offer prayers for the people. But the people would receive what they've always needed, and that is a close relationship with the Savior, with God. They would no longer be afar off, but they would be nigh unto the Lord. They would no longer have to have a man to pray for them and to offer sacrifices, because the man Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, would soon lay down his life for the sin of this world, for the people of this world. Verse 21 again says, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." We do not have to be in a building to be worshiping God. We do not have to be in a certain area to call upon God in prayer. The Bible teaches us that wherever we're at, we are to be worshiping God. John 4:23 says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Well, why would Jesus make a comment like this? Why would he be saying this to this woman in verse 23? Well, verse 24 answers the question. He says, because now, once again, he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship God. We do not worship the building. We do not worship the things that the artifacts that would be found once again in Jerusalem or anywhere else. We do not worship those things. And you know, I find that as I listen to people who have gone to Jerusalem and they've gone into the cave where they said that Jesus was buried, and they walk up Golgotha and they see something lying about, and people start worshiping things like that. They worship the cave where Jesus was laid. Well, that's not what we're supposed to do. Jesus is no longer in the ground. He's no longer buried. He rose from the grave, and now he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship God, not the things that we see with the naked eye, but we are to worship the true and living God. Why? Because he is spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't worship the building. Don't worship any man. Worship Jesus Christ. Worship God. Jesus is God, and we're to worship him, and we're to sing praises to him because he is the Savior. He saved us, those of us who have trusted him as Savior, and we need to be willing to give him all the honor and glory. John 4:25 says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Well, this woman had already heard Jesus tell her things that nobody nobody could have told him, but he knew things about her life, about the husbands that she had had and the man she was now living with. No one told him about that. He gave her a clue. He was telling her, "I know who you are. I know your life. You need salvation." Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Well, who is the he? The woman said, "I know that Messiah cometh." He says, "I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm here." Now, verse 27 goes on to say, "And upon this came his disciples." Now, once again, his disciples had been gone to get food, and they came back. "And upon this, his disciples, and they came, and they marveled that he talked with this woman." Remember, the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans. They didn't understand why Jesus was speaking to her. And yet, it goes on to say, "Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her?" They didn't question the Lord. They had gotten to the place where they understood that the Lord knew what he was doing. The Lord knew who to speak to. He knew what he had come to do. And the Bible says that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. And this woman was lost. She needed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I believe she got saved. Verse 28 of chapter 4 says, "The woman then left her water pot." She left the material thing behind. She left that thing that she had come with, and she left it. And I believe she left the sin right there. She left the old person, and she became a new person in Jesus Christ. "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men." Now, God help us to go to people, the people even that we do not believe. We may say, "Well, they don't deserve to be saved." All deserve to be saved. And we need to be going to everyone and telling them about the one who has the water of life, and that person is Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.